All right, open up your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. When I was making the announcements, it was not very clear. I want to clarify, this coming Wednesday night, it will not be Helps Ministries Missions Night. This coming Wednesday night will be the final service in the fellowship hall. Bring chips and dip or whatever else sounds good to you. The next Wednesday night is when we will have Helps Ministries Missions Night. So that will be good. Also, next Sunday night, 1 week from tonight, after the service, we will observe the Lord's Supper as a church family. And so I wanted to let you know of being prepared for that. All right, Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. It was actually at my father's church. He read a story that he had gotten a hold of, and I'm going to read it to you this morning. It's called the BC story. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that before, but you're in for a treat. There's a story is told of a lady who was rather old-fashioned, always quiet, delicate, and elegant, especially in her language. She and her husband were planning a week's vacation in Florida, so she wrote to a particular campground asking for a reservation. She wanted to make sure that the campground was fully equipped, but didn't quite know how to ask about the toilet facilities. She just couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet in her letter. After much deliberation, she finally came up with the old-fashioned term, bathroom commode. But when she wrote that down, she still thought she was being too forward. So she started all over again and rewrote the entire letter, referring to the bathroom commode merely as the BC. Does the campground have its own BC, is what she actually wrote. Well, the campground owner wasn't old-fashioned at all, and when he got the letter, he just couldn't figure out what the woman was talking about. That BC business really stumped him. After worrying about it for a while, he showed the letter to several campers, but they couldn't imagine what the lady meant either. So the campground owner finally coming to the conclusion that the lady must be asking about the local Baptist church. She sat down and wrote the following reply. Dear Madam, I regret very much in the delay in answering your letter, but I now take pleasure in informing you that a BC is located in a lovely grove just 9 miles north of the campground and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I admit that is quite a distance away if you're in the habit of going regularly, but no doubt you will be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and make a day of it. They usually arrive early and stay late. It's such a beautiful facility, the acoustics are marvelous. Even the normal delivery sounds can be heard. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago, and it was so crowded we had to stand up the whole time we were there. It may interest you to know that right now a supper is planned to raise money to buy more seats. They are going to hold it in the basement of the BC. This is funnier than that, folks. Come on. I would like to say it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly, but it is surely no lack of desire on my part. As we grow old, it seems to be more difficult, especially in colder weather. If you decide to come down to our campground, perhaps I could go with you the first time, sit with you, and introduce you to all the other folks. Remember, this is a friendly community. Sincerely, the campground owner. Amen. All right. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter. You ever been misunderstood before? My goodness. Exodus chapter 21. When you get there, look in verse 1. If you're there, give me a big amen this morning. Amen. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or the door of the post, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. I'll explain what we just read in just a moment, but the title of my message this morning is, I Will Not Go Out Free. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for the way that you've already spoken to our hearts through the songs that we've sung, the prayers that have been made. I pray for Miss Sarah. She teaches the kids next door. Help them to have a good time and learn something that can help build their character. Lord, I pray you help me as I preach this morning. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's power. You know I cannot do this without you. Please be with all those that are sick. I pray for my kids. To help them to get better soon so that they can, my family can be back with me here at church. Lord, you know that I need your help, and I pray that you fill us, fill this room with your Spirit this morning. Help us to learn something so that we can apply to our lives from this truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
This is just after he has given Moses the Ten Commandments, and he's giving him instructions on when a master has a servant. Now, this is not the slavery that you and I immediately think of. This would be back in the Old Testament times. If you couldn't afford to pay a bill, instead of declaring bankruptcy, what you could do is say, well, I will work for you then for 6 years to pay off my debt. And so that's what it's talking about, but it's giving some instruction. And there's a hypothetical story that we see here. There's a man. He does not have a good life. He has now been purchased as a slave, and there are a few different reasons why he could be where he is. It's possible that this man, this hypothetical man that we see in Exodus chapter 21, was a captive in war. He might have been captured by the Israelites, and so he becomes a slave for these 6 years. Or it's possible that he was found guilty of breaking the law. And so in order to repay his debt to the person that he stole from or robbed or whatever it was that he did, then he could become a slave or a servant and work for this man for these 6 years. Or it's also possible that, like we mentioned earlier, that he had a debt and he could not pay it. And so he had to sell himself into slavery. So whichever the reason, this is a man with a sad life. He does not have life together. He's either been found guilty of doing something, or he's been caught in war, or he is so much in debt that the only option he now has is to sell himself as a slave. And so he does not have a good life. With no other choice, he becomes a slave. He becomes the purchased property of now somebody else. This man has totally given up all of his freedoms. It's no longer about his interests and his schedule and his agenda. His whole life now is under the control of somebody else, his master. All of his labor, used to when he would labor for himself. Labor to try to provide for his own, but now he's not doing that anymore. Now all of his labor, everything that he does, goes to support the goals of his master. He no longer has the right to promote his own name and reputation. He now carries the name of another man, his master. He represents somebody else. He represents his master. He's no longer his own. When he does not act as he should, it reflects poorly the name of his master. When he has a bad testimony, it makes his master look bad. But also when he is praised and when he does a good job, he has to now relinquish all glory to his master. He's made his master look good. And so this man is for 6 years has a very difficult life. A very selfless life. All is about his master and nothing is about him anymore. But the good news is that this period of servitude would only last for a maximum of 6 years. God is talking about the sabbatical year. And God said that this servant would work for his master, relinquish all rights to himself. He does not have the right to set his own schedule, to have his own goals, to build his own name. Everything is about serving the master and following the master's wishes and obeying the master's commands. But he only does this for 6 years. And at the end of the sixth year, then the man is set free. And so the servant would no doubt, this hypothetical man we are looking at, would no doubt count down the days until he could be free again. Till he could work for his own interests again and have his own name back. Stop doing everything this man wants and start being able to do what he wants. And so I'm sure this hypothetical man that we see in Exodus chapter 21 says, just 5 more years. I've got 1 year all done. 5 more years and I can go free. 4 more years. 3 more years. 2 more years and I can finally be set free, and I don't have to serve this master anymore until the day is finally that he would be able to go free. No longer somebody else's property, no longer a slave. Look at verse 2 of what it says here. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years salary servant, in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. So now the man is free. But verse 5 and 6 tells us that this was not the spirit of the servant in every case. Most servants, I'm sure, couldn't stand their master. Couldn't stand being a slave. They couldn't stand what their life had brought them to. Now I'm at a place where I'm somebody else's property. But verse 5 and 6 tells us this was not the spirit found in every single servant that worked for the master. Some found that their master was good. Some of the masters fed them well and gave them shelter and good clothing, gave them purpose, gave them assignments, gave them rewards when they did good. And so they loved their master. He took care of them, had their back when things got difficult. And a trust began to be built between the servant and the master, and they began to trust one another and love one another, and have their relationship became so much more than just a legal arrangement that I have to work for you because I'm in debt, or I have to work for you because I got caught because I was guilty and I had no other choice. Their relationship, they became close friends. And so the servant finally, because of the goodness of the master, because he took care of him and he provided for him, the servant now began to love his master. He didn't serve his master out of duty anymore, but out of earned love and respect and gratitude. Verse 3 and 4 explains to us the legality of a family of such an arrangement. It says that if this man was married when he went into the servitude and became a slave, then at the end of the 6 years, then he could take his wife and his kids with him. But if the master gave him his wife, and he had any kids born while he was serving the master, they were not able to leave with him. His wife had more time to serve. His wife was still property of the master. That was just the legal arrangement. And so when he would be set free, his wife, he would not be able to stay with her. But at the end of the 6 years, the servant had an option. You can either go free, like it said in verse 2, or you had the option to give your entire life to the master. The legal process was then to do something physically that showed his forever service to his master. It says that he would go to the master, and the master would take him before the judges so that there would be witnesses that this man is giving me his entire life, his entire service. The 6 years is over. It's no longer required. He's doing this voluntarily. And so they would take an awl or like a sickle and mark his ear so that it would be physically noticeable. This man has given himself freely to the service for the rest of his life. And so it said that after that, then if he loved the master and if he loved his wife, then he could do that. I'm sure you can imagine a wife many, many times as her and her husband, he came and worked for the master, and maybe the wife was another servant, and they began to love one another, and so they get married, and the man now makes it to the end of his 6 years, but his wife has 3 more years to go in her servitude. And so she gets her kids together and she says, "Kids, your daddy might not come home today." You see, he had to work for, and they named the master's name, but he's done all of his job. He's worked as much as he is required to do, and so now he's going to go meet with the master and meet with the judges. And I just want to let y'all know to be prepared. Daddy, we might not be able to see Daddy for a few years, but when Mommy's all done with her servitude, then she can go. This man now gets there, and he begins to think on his life before. How did I get here? I was guilty. I was guilty of a sinful lifestyle, and because of that, I had no choice. I had to become a slave. How did I get here? I was absolutely broke. My life was a wreck. I couldn't even afford to pay my own debts, and that's why I had to become a slave. Maybe the servant begins to think about the life that he had before he became a slave. No direction in life, no real purpose. And then there was a day when he met the master. And now he says, "I love my new life. I love my master. He treats me with dignity. He treats me with respect. He gives me purpose. He gives me jobs to do. He rewards me when I do good. I love the new life that he has given me. Everything I have was given to me by the master. I love the wife that I have, that he gave to me. I love the kids, the family that the master gave me. I love the home that the master gave me. I get to go to him when I need things. And before I came to him, my life was nothing but loss and shame. But ever since I've come to the master, my life has been changed. It's different. All the blessings that I have been given to me by this master. I love the new family name that I have. I don't mind relinquishing my previous name. I like the new name that I've got. I love my new life. I love my..." Look what it says in verse 5 of Exodus chapter 21. It says, "And if the servant shall plainly say..." What's that next phrase say? "I love my..." What does it say again? "I love my master." If the servant gets there and he says, "You know what? What my life was before, it was a wreck. I was broke. I was guilty. I was a captive. Look at my life now. I love my home. I love serving my master. I love the family that I've got. I love my master. I will not go out free. I will not go out free. Yes, I will stay and give you my eternal service. I'm yours forever. I will not go out free. I choose to stay." And that's when then they would take his ear and they would put that mark in his ear to forever show, "I've chosen to give up my liberties to serve the new master that I love. He's given me everything I have. I just want to serve him with the rest of my life. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my master. I will not go out free." Could you imagine the joy as the wife feels as she's at home waiting? I wonder what he's decided to do. She finally in the distance sees him coming. He's walking a little bit fast. As he gets closer, she sees the smile on his face. And then finally, she gets close enough to notice the mark in his ear. And she calls her kids and says, "Kids, it's okay. Daddy's coming home and he's staying for good." Because he said, I love my master. I love my family. I will not go out free. You know, this mark, when we read this, I'm the kind of person that if I hear pain described, I feel it myself. Boy, someone talks about I was walking the middle of the night and I stubbed my toe starts to hurt. You know, anybody else in there like, I start to feel it. And boy, that sounds painful, taking that sharp sickle and driving it through your ear. But to the servant that loved his master and loved his wife, the pain was not a burden. It was a privilege for him to say, I'm proud to associate myself with the master that I love so much. It's not a burden. It was an honor. And so I cannot help but wonder if the Apostle Paul had this thought in his mind when he said, in the book of Galatians, "From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." You know, there was a lot of times when Paul introduced himself, he said, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." And then he said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." It was an honor to get to be associated with, for people to look at my ear and recognize and say, "You must have chosen to devote your life for the rest of your life to the Master." Oh yes, absolutely. If you didn't know what my life was before, it was a wreck. I had no direction. I had no purpose. I was just kind of living, and the decisions that I had made were destroying my life. My destination was terrible, but then the Master found me, and I've been working for Him, all that's been changed. I love the Master. I'm honored to get to show a mark in my body that says that I'm associating with Him. I choose to work. I choose to stay. I will not go out free. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 6 and verse 19 says, what? Paul said, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God's and of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a what? Price." Ye are bought with a price. How many of you are saved this morning? Raise your hand. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you're not your own. You've been purchased.
Amen.
You owed a debt that you couldn't pay. You were found guilty, and the only choice that you had was to either die and go to hell or accept the paid sacrifice of Jesus' blood on the cross.
Amen.
And if you've been saved, then you're not your own. Paul said, you've been bought with a price. You had a master that came down and said, "I will offer you a new life." The life that you, what you on your own, you're not getting anywhere. You're in debt. You're guilty of sin. If you follow that path, you're finally going to end up in a place called hell. But I can offer you something better if you'll come and serve me. I will not go out free. If you are here today and you've been saved, you're not your own because you've been bought with a price. The sad thing is this, though. Most Christians say, "I don't like being a servant." That's the attitude of most Christians. They've been purchased. Their soul is forever saved now, and they've got a future home in heaven. But their attitude, now they might not actually come out and say this, but their attitude is, "I don't like being a servant. I don't want to have to surrender to the will of somebody else. I don't want to have to relinquish my rights. I don't want to have to relinquish my name. I want to work for myself. I want to work for my goals and my desires. I don't want to have to obey the commands of a book. I don't want to have a master that's over me." Now, just like the story, after the 6 years, they had the liberty to go out free. God is never going to force anybody to serve Him.
That's right. Amen.
He's not going to force anybody to serve Him.
Good.
You have to decide. And most Christians say, "No, I'm not willing to serve Him with my life." You know what it means to be a servant? Being a servant means that you put somebody else first.
That's right.
That means that what he says goes. That means that if he tells me that there's something that he wants me to do, do you know, as a servant, I don't even have the right to protest.
That's right.
Much less have the right to tell him no. You know why so many Christians are disobeying the Word of God on a daily basis? They've chosen to go out free. Make Him the Lord of my life. You're telling me that now that all of my life is all about glorifying His name?
Yeah. Amen.
Instead of mine? That's not fair. Yes, it is. He bought you with his blood.
Amen.
It is fair. Any good thing about me is because of God, and he deserves all the glory. Every mistake that's ever been made at Highlands Baptist Church has been because of Keith Carringer. Everything that's ever been messed up has been my fault. Everything good that's ever happened at Highlands Baptist Church has been because of God.
Amen.
Everything we do is all to the glory of God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. But so many Christians say, wait a minute. You're honestly asking me to give him my entire life. Do everything he's asked me to do. Be a soul winner. Be faithful.
Yeah.
Serve in the ministries of the church. Volunteer when something is needed. That's what a servant does.
Yeah.
A servant serves.
Yeah.
You ever gone to a restaurant and you felt compelled to tip the waiter because it was out of, you know, because you felt bad not to, but he did not earn it. You drunk your drink all the way to the bottom, and you were even slurping when he walked by, hoping that he'd hear it and stop. Oh, would you like more to drink? Where'd he go? Outside having a smoke? I don't know. He's not been here. You didn't feel like tipping the server that didn't do much serving, did you? You know, a lot of Christians say, I like the idea of getting saved and knowing that my name is written in heaven's attendance book, Lamb's Book of Life, and I don't have to worry about going to hell. You want me to serve? Servers serve.
Amen. Yes.
You're not your own.
Yeah.
But most of them say this. No, I'll go out free.
Uh-huh.
It's my life.
Yeah.
It's my schedule. My priorities. Uh-huh. It's my name. I will go out free.
That's good.
But the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 5 and 6 that that's not the story in every case.
Yeah.
That's not the story in every case. There are some servants that realize, you know what? I know what my life was before. How many of you remember what your life was like before Jesus found you? You know, you might be like me. I was saved when I was 7 years old. I've done more sins after I was saved than I did before. My testimony doesn't sound very powerful. I grew up in a pastor's home, Christian school. I was pulled out of the muck and the mire of sin of a 7-year-old, whatever 7-year-old could be in. But I can tell you what my life was before. I was a sinner that was going to grow up and live a terrible, terrible life.
Right.
I was finally going to pass away, and I was going to open my eyes in a place called hell. I was going to live my whole life without any comfort from the Holy Spirit, without wisdom, without making the right decisions. That's what He saved me from.
Amen.
I know what my life was before I started serving the Master. I don't know about you. Can I tell you self for me personally? I know what I was before I met the Master. I know where my soul would have spent eternity. I was guilty, just like the slave in Exodus chapter 21, the hypothetical man that we looked at. He had to become a slave because he was guilty of something, and he had no other choice. I was guilty. I was a sinner. But David said that in sin did my mother conceive me, and I was born with sin just like he was, and just like you were. We're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was guilty. I had no choice but to take the offer from the Master, to decide to become his servant and to become his slave. But I know what I was before. I was guilty. And not only that, but I owed a debt I couldn't pay. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the mark that we have to hit. Sinless perfection. Two ways you can get to heaven. You say, preacher's preaching heresy this morning. Yeah, there's two ways you can get to heaven. One of them is to live your life perfect, sinless, never doing a wrong thing. Then you wouldn't need salvation. You wouldn't need a Savior. You wouldn't need the blood. But the problem is the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all disqualified from that. We can't make it in that way. You know what that means? You owed a debt you couldn't pay. You owed a debt you couldn't pay.
Yeah.
We've all heard the Christmas story. I believe they made a song and they might have even made a movie about it. But you remember the story of the little boy at Christmas time, and he had a box of shoes in his hand. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Comes up and stands at the counter and puts the shoes up on the box, up on the countertop. And the man scans the shoes and tells the little boy how much it costs. And boy, he starts searching his pockets and looking, and he said, I don't have enough. And then he turns and tells the cashier the story. He says, my mommy is very sick, and she might meet Jesus tonight, and I want to get these Christmas shoes for my mommy. Remember the story? And there was a man that was standing behind that little boy in line. I don't know if this was a true story or not, but was standing behind that little boy in line, and boy, his heart was broken. And he thought, I've just got to help out this little boy to get these Christmas shoes for his mommy. And so he pulled out his wallet and he paid the price for those shoes that little boy could not afford. You know where I was before the master found me? I was standing in front of the counter of the, if you wanted to call it the Great White Throne counter.
Right.
How much does it cost to get into heaven? You got to be perfect. You could have looked and I could have looked in all of our pockets for righteous acts. I don't have enough. But I'm so thankful that there was a lamb named Jesus Christ who took his blood and reached over me and put it on the counter and said, Father, I'll pay his debt. I'll pay his debt. And he paid the debt that I could not owe. I was a sinner. I was guilty. I owed a debt that I could not pay. That's who I was before I met the Master. Can I tell you something? I absolutely love serving the Master. I wouldn't want to do anything else. I love the family that He's given me. I love the blessings that He's given me. I love the purpose and the fulfillment that I have in Him. I love the satisfaction that I have in Him. And just like that servant that stops and looks at his life before, and he looks at his life now, and he says, everything good I've gotten the Master gave to me. He's given me my clothes. He's given me my home. He's given me my family. He gives me my blessings. He gives me rewards when I do good. Why would I want to go? And I look at all of those things. I love the church that God has given me to pastor. I love the new brothers and sisters in Christ that I've got. I love the comfort that I have when I need it and I go to the Holy Spirit in prayer and say, I need help. I don't know what to do when that comfort is right there. I love my Master. I choose not to go out free. Boy, there's so many. I'll never understand the Christian that says, I know what I was before. I know what I am now. I'm thankful for it, but I'm not yours. You can't have my life. Boy, I can't answer for them, but I can tell you for me personally, I love my Master.
Yeah. Amen.
I love serving Him. I don't want to do anything else.
Amen.
And so I told Him when I was 11 years old, Master, I love You. You can have my life. I made God a promise. Now, you don't make the promise because God didn't call you to preach. He did me. But I said, God, if I ever do anything in my life but preach, if a career ever comes up and it's so tempting that I take it, if I ever do anything but preach, kill me. Just go and take me to heaven. I don't want to live unless I'm serving You.
Yeah.
I don't want to live on this earth unless I'm doing what You've called me to do.
Right.
There's never been anything that has been a strong enough temptation that has tempted me not to keep serving the Master. Because I love Him. I love the life He's given me. And I know what I was before. And so I've made the decision. My life is Yours.
Yeah, amen.
Look what it says here in Exodus chapter 21. Look what it says. Look at verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges and shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. And he shall serve him how long? God, my life is Yours. You can control my destiny. You can control my life's decisions until the day I die. It's Yours. Because I love my Master. And I will not go out free. How about you this morning? What do you choose? God is not going to force you. You can go to Him this morning and say, nope. Believe me, I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for heaven, but I will go out free. It's my life, my decisions, my goals. I don't want to have to serve You. I don't want to have to obey Your word. I don't want to have to do what You ask. It's my life. The decision is Yours. Or will you come to Him this morning and say, Master, I love You.
Yes, Lord,
I love the life You gave me. My life is Yours. I will not go out free.
Yes.
Father, we thank You for this day.
Amen.
We thank You for everything You've given us.